It's time for the political junkie and his take on politics for the week. Ken Rudin with us from near Washington. Hey, Ken, welcome back. Good to talk.
Thank you, Carrie. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did. And did you?
I did. We had turkey.
Did you? How unusual.
Yeah. You know the best part of this?
You're such an original.
You know that genuine cranberry sauce that comes out of that Ocean Spray can? I love that.
You don't make your own from the berries.
Ooh, why would anybody do that?
I bet you it was a good Thanksgiving for Governor Chris Christie. Do you think he knew that this big endorsement was coming down the line for him?
Well, if we're talking about the endorsement of the New Hampshire Union Leader, which
we
is the biggest newspaper in the state, I don't know if he knew it. I think it was unexpected. But we also should remember that the Union Leader endorsed Newt Gingrich 4 years ago, and Newt Gingrich finished fourth.
They've
endorsed people like Sam Yorty, and you know they have a history of not endorsing the winners, but they are influential in Republican politics. And given the fact that Chris Christie was downgraded to the junior circuit debate as of the last one, this endorsement is very good.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to talk to you about. In the world that we live in today, where newspaper circulation is dropping, why does a newspaper endorsement even matter?
It matters because if you're running 4% in the polls, and that's what Chris Christie looks like he's doing, anything like that matters. He was also endorsed by a very influential former Speaker of the House in New Hampshire. I don't know if you know this, but I think New Hampshire has like over 400 members of the State House. So I think everybody in New Hampshire is a member of the State House. But you know something? I mean, endorsements, we keep talking about how important they are. I remember in 2003, both Tom Harkin, the senator from Iowa, and Al Gore gave big, huge, high-profile endorsements of Howard Dean for the Iowa caucuses, and Howard Dean finished third. So, you know, they bring headlines, but ultimately I don't think endorsements are transferable.
But if you're a citizen voter in New Hampshire, does this mean that you give someone like Christie a second look, or you're getting pretty close to making up your mind and who cares what the union leader says?
That's a great question, because New Hampshire voters, and I think Iowa too, I think they're notoriously known for late decisions about how they're going to vote. Go back to 2003, Howard Dean was the front runner until 2 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, and then people made up their minds at the end. So I kind of think that if you're on the fence and then you see an endorsement from the union leader, maybe you'll give that candidate a second look.
Ken, I read something pretty interesting on the National Journal website over the weekend. It's from Josh Krakauer, and he is writing about the 2016 presidential race, and he says this: it's the overall media consensus, which views the chaotic Donald Trump-dominated GOP field as not ready for prime time. And it's all wrong. Nearly every fundamental measure, with the notable exception of the country's demographic shifts, favors the Republicans in 2016. And he talks about a lot of those country headed in the wrong direction polls, uneven economic growth, President Obama not very popular. Take that in and tell me what you think of that kind of political logic.
Well, and plus the fact that if Hillary Clinton or whomever the Democrats put up wins, I mean, that would be the third straight Democratic victory. And that hasn't happened since the Roosevelt and Truman days of three straight Democratic wins. So I kind of think that on paper, that's absolutely true. There are a lot of good track, bad track things that would help the Republicans in 2016, but not if they're eating their own. And right now, when you see polls that show Donald Trump not only leading, but, and I've said this on your show for months now, every time he says something more and more incendiary, every time we say, oh no, he can't cross that line, well, he crosses that line and he's still the leader. Now, what's interesting is right now the latest polls show a surge in Iowa, at least, for Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always said that national polls don't matter that much. What matters in Iowa and New Hampshire, and I think the nation reacts to those events. So if you see a winner in Iowa, you see a winner in New Hampshire, then I think other states suddenly pay attention. Voters in those states pay attention. They say, this guy or gal may have something there. So right now, Ted Cruz seems to have the momentum. Ben Carson does not have the momentum. And Donald Trump remains Donald Trump.
Ken Rudin's with us, the political junkie, as he always is at this time on Mondays. If you have a question, you can call real fast, 651-227-6000. You can also tweet a question for Ken. It's at Kerry NPR. You were saying you say national polls don't matter. I'll tell you what is just unavoidably seems to be true is that facts don't matter to the people that love Donald Trump. All this stuff that he's saying about, you know, all these people that were celebrating, stadiums full, I think he said at one point, in New Jersey after 9/11.
Right after 9/11, right.
It's just, it's flat out wrong and nobody seems to care. And what is that about?
Well, you know, we keep saying over and over again, we've never seen anything like that. In the past, when a candidate was caught with a flat-footed lie or a misinterpretation, there would be something called, and I had to look up the word, an apology. Donald Trump has never apologized for anything. You know, there was a great scene, there was a great line at a Groucho Marx in a Marx Brothers movie, and he says, Groucho says, "Who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes?" I mean, Groucho. Donald Trump says, look, it's not true. It happened because I say it happened. And Chuck Todd on Meet the Press yesterday and all these journalists try their hardest and say, wait a second, it is not true. Or like when Donald Trump said he was not humiliating and embarrassing a New York or making fun of a New York Times reporter. Of course he was. And Donald Trump says, no, I didn't. I mean, it's just remarkable. Look, I still say Donald Trump is not the nominee and he's not going to be the nominee. But we've spent all these months just flabbergasted at that he says it. And so therefore it must be true.
You mentioned the Meet the Press panel and I saw that discussion. I think somebody said it's also because there is not a lot of trust for the fact checkers, which are the media, even though the media does a lot and we do it, too. And I think it's really important, fact-checking what the candidates say. There is a lot of skepticism about the media, and so you don't believe the fact-checking is true, I guess.
Well, look, we're tired of politicians. We, the American people, or at least the Trump supporters, we're tired of politicians. We're tired of the establishment. We're tired of the media. Donald Trump is unhinged. No, he's unfettered by all these facts and has to not have to worry about what the media have to say. And therefore, that's a big part of his appeal. But at some point, people are going to say, you know, just because he says it, it doesn't mean it's true. That's exactly what Chuck Todd said. Just because you said it, say it, it doesn't mean it's true. And Donald Trump says, yes, it is true because I said it. And so, look, voters often deserve what they get, or they get what they deserve. And if they insist on a Donald Trump, which I don't think they will, well, then that's so be it.
Ken, here's your newsmaker sound of the week. Let's listen.
Ils ont le culte de la mort, mais nous avons l'amour.
They have a cult of death, but we have love, love of life. And those who fell on the 13th of November represented France, the whole of France.
I know you didn't even need the translation because you're fluent in French, but...
Un peu.
Un petit peu.
That means a little.
Yeah. I wanted to play that because the climate conference, of course, is beginning in Paris today. 2 weeks after these attacks by ISIS, the security must be just overwhelming. And I wonder if you think, Ken, that conversations that are going on the sidelines about international security may be as important as what gets talked about with climate change.
Well, that's true. Look, I do know that the French are reinterpreting their constitution by banning any kind of demonstrations. And of course, all these demonstrations that are going on right now around the world and are basically saying that the planet is falling apart and the nations have to do something about it. But of course, those demonstrations are not allowed to be held in Paris. Look, it is remarkable that it's happening in the same city where that horrific attacks are just over 2 weeks ago. But right now, I mean, you know, we could have the world coming to an end now with these radical and these unforgivable and unspeakable amount of acts of terror, or it's just a slow death of the planet, which seems to be what the driving force is for the countries involved in the climate talks in Paris.
Ken, did you happen to catch Fareed Zakaria's show yesterday?
I did not.
There was an excellent, it was basically kind of like an hour-long documentary about a reporter, a European reporter, who got inside Mosul the city that ISIS controls. And for the first time, I think, we were really seeing the way they govern a city. It was, I recommend it to you. You can probably catch it on a replay.
I did
really
not see that, but I was shocked when I heard that Ben Carson, you know, Ben Carson was in Jordan over
yes,
the weekend.
Right.
And they asked him what he thinks about Jordan after his visit. He said, I can't make a decision until I also visit LeBron and Kobe. So I kind of think that those are other things that he has to. I'm not sure if that really happened. I may have made that up.
You might have. Quick question here from Steve in Duluth. Hey, Steve. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? So I just kind of wanted to say, when you guys were talking about some of those national polls not mattering that much, you know, you have Rand Paul, who's been polling fairly low in the 4 or 5%, yet he wins every straw poll they have, essentially. And then you have Jeb Bush, who's polling fairly high, but yet, or at least he was, but yet I've never met a Jeb Bush supporter. I don't think my friends have ever met a Jeb Bush supporter.
Yeah.
I've been told they exist.
kind of the contradiction of that, Ken. What can you say in about a minute?
Well, let me say two things quickly about what Steve said. First of all, straw polls mean nothing. Ron Paul seemed to win all the straw polls in 2012, and he didn't come close to winning the nomination. Two, I agree about Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is like probably fifth in all those national polls. His numbers are not moving up at all. And three, the most important thing, 4 years ago at this time, Rick Santorum had 1% in the polls, and he wound up winning Iowa. So those national polls don't really mean that much.
But winning Iowa also doesn't always mean too much either.
That's true. I mean, a lot of people win Iowa, and then they disappear by the time they reach New Hampshire. Absolutely right.
Ken, I'll talk to you next Monday. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie.
Ken Rudin with us, the political junkie.